But let's go back to domestic politics, or politics from the Dáil today, because representatives from the construction industry and homeowners affected by mica were before the Finance Committee to discuss the government's contentious concrete levy. The key focus was on whether or not those responsible for producing defective blocks would ever be held accountable. Let's just have a listen to Lisa Ho now. Lisa is the chair of the Mica Action Group.
We've still got known operators in the market today turning a profit. They've never been challenged or pursued. The quarries are still open. It's actually mind-boggling. The affected homeowners just cannot get their heads around how this can still be possible. And government is talking about having to introduce more levies when they're saying, well, why don't you go to the root source? We know who produced the blocks. I can produce a list. I can have that on Minister O'Brien's desk tomorrow morning. People know where the blocks came from. They know who the offenders are. There is no reason for government not to pursue those companies. But in terms of action and actually challenging those who are known to be culpable, nothing is happening.
And that, as I say, was Lisa Hone there of the Mica Action Group. Christina, that was a very interesting discussion, and a kind of change of tone in the way this issue has been discussed in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think listeners at home will be kind of astounded to hear such a strong testimony about, I suppose, accountability in all of this and the micro redress. They probably would have heard a lot of discussion about what we're going to do about it and would have assumed that, you know, all the boxes would have been ticked in terms of due course redress and ensuring that those responsible were held responsible. And it is a question that has been doing the rounds in Leinster House, even when we're discussing the concrete levy coming up to the budget. A lot of people saying, well, hold on a minute, you know, what's going on with the court case? Is there something going on? Are the people that are culpable, has that been addressed? And there does seem to be a bit of a vacuum of information around that. I have chatted to a few sources that said, you know, there's a lot of issues with class actions over here in Ireland. We don't necessarily have them, that it would be a huge, massive undertaking. But I think it's really concerning to hear that there are still companies
and quarries still open
in operation. And are we going to be dealing with yet more houses down the line that are going to have to fall into some sort of redress? So it's a sort of a separate angle, I think, completely to sort of the U-turn that the government did around the percentage of the levy. And I think big questions probably need to be asked, because it just kind of plays into a lot, I think, of what people think about Ireland and, you know, the lack of, you know, somebody being held responsible.
And the fact that the taxpayer owes always is left holding the baby.
Exactly.
Aisling.
Accountability is key. And I think the people who are actually suffering with the crumbling walls and the houses just want to see action right now. And I suppose that's what the government did in the budget. You know, they were putting together a programme of redress. And I mean, it's going to take millions to address the thousands of homes that have been affected, particularly in the West and in Donegal. But you're also looking at defects in apartments as well. When it comes to the legal side of it, what they're going to be looking at, from what I understand, is senior counsel to advise the government just on the options that are available here. And I suppose in terms of standards, that's where we have the NSAI, I suppose the National Standards Authority, that will have to measure, you know, the quality of bricks. I mean, this is what it comes down to, the quality of the bricks.
That's the question, though, isn't it? How do we know that the blocks that are coming out of
quarries
right now are not going to be, you know, costing us millions in 10 or 15 or 20 years' time?
Yeah, and that's where I suppose we're looking to those experts, those technical experts, to review the quality of those bricks. I mean, from what I understand, there's assessment testing and so on going on of these damaged bricks to understand exactly the makeup of these bricks and the makeup of the different elements in it. But it's absolutely crucial, as you say, that these measures are adhered to, that that the regulations going forward for the industry in terms of the quality of bricks and what's been provided to homeowners, to people building their first homes, is of the quality that we want it to be, because there is no way, shape or form the government is going to deal with this, what's happened over the last 10 or 15 years in terms of the schemes that we now have to put in place about redress for the families that have been affected.
But why are we only getting senior counsel advice on this now? I mean, this has been rolling as a scandal and bubbling up for years now.
Yeah, I understand that to my mind, the government has taken a real priority here about redress, like in this budget that they're allocating funds, that there is a fund been put aside for people so that, you know,
surely a senior counsel could have been asked to do this years ago and it wouldn't have in any way impacted on the redress piece of this.
And I understand that from Minister Dara O'Brien's department, like that they have engaged with senior counsel. I suppose they're awaiting probably the options to come back and there probably would be further updates on that as well.
Okay, sorry, Gary, you're trying to get
in there. Yeah, something that's still out for me today, even in relation to how we control, monitor these kind of quarries. So, Kian O'Callaghan, our spokesperson in housing, today over the last couple of months highlighted that the National Building Control Office has just 4 full-time staff monitoring over 1,000 different quarries. So that comes to a total fund.
Okay, so just repeat that, Gary. This is the office that mm-hmm. is in charge of monitoring what comes out of quarries.
The quarries. So they had 4 full-time staff monitoring over 1,000 quarries, a fund of €564,000, and that was comprising 31 local authorities, which comes to €18,000 each from that budget. So if we talk about how much urgency, how much the minister's offered priority, I mean, that's scandalous. Yeah. And then also, and I can't step away from the fact, we talk about the fact that taxpayers often left holding the budget baby for these things. So in the absence of strong regulation, what we've had now is the, think about the different levies we've had. So the insurance compensation fund, we've had stamp duty, we've had the motor insurance insolvency compensation fund, we've had the bank levy, we've had the electricity levy, all taxpayer fund, all coming on the taxpayer in the absence of strong regulation from government.
Well, there is
a sad reflection.
Can you respond to the issue about four staff members to deal with?
I will definitely take that on board.
Must all acknowledge is
no. I will definitely take that on board. I mean, I'm dealing with local authorities, my own local authority that's understaffed. So, I mean, local authorities across the country do have challenges in terms of staffing in many different areas, and we need to see more been allocated. But I suppose just the point around taxpayers managing or shouldering this burden, this is where we were looking to industry, particularly around that levy, and it working with industry, with all stakeholders, but ensuring that the taxpayer is not the sole one shouldering the burden.
But that was passed it on to the buyer trying to build a house or buying a newly constructed house. Yeah. That was generally accepted. That's who would end up carrying that baby.
Yeah, I suppose
we're just taking it as a given that that's what's going to be passed on to the taxpayer. I mean, it's not acceptable. It's too much of a laissez-faire, hands-off approach.
Yeah.
The irony there is that it's been passed on to the, I heard Lisa today, and the irony is that it's been passed on to the people who have been destroyed, whose houses are falling down around them, in rebuilding costs. And yet we talk about accountability and how quick the government is to defend the indefensible so many times, you know, over health issues or cases like this, and yet they're so slow to actually do the homework. Like, the government is there for a reason. The government is there to stand up for the citizens. Yeah. They should be absolutely, to think that their quarry is still
there's one thing
making standing up for it. Absolutely appalling. Yeah. And it just shows the complete lack of regulation, but not just that,
I'd challenge you on those points. I mean, there is the National Standards Authority, like there is regulation, there is a mechanism there in terms of the quality.
I know, but
Ashton,
you're saying, you know, we know that local authorities are underfunded. You know, you might have got away with that 10 years ago, but you can't get away with that now.
Well,
I'm wondering who's underfunding them.
Yeah, who's underfunding
them? Well, there are still challenges when it does come to funding local authorities. And I would very much agree with you on that, because, you know, they're, I suppose, for the last number of years, they've been dealing with,
we've known about this. This has been coming up at Sinn Féin or the Eisne for as long as I can remember. Certainly 6-7 years, this has been coming up, the MICA situation in Donegal. The government has known about this for a long, long time.
And people are
terrified of their houses falling down around them.
It has been such a difficult situation, and it's those families that the government is thinking about, I suppose, in putting
this
scheme in place.
Well, the government didn't. The scheme that has been put in place, like Sinn Féin wanted to increase it to 200 million for next year. The government increased by 5 million to 65 million for next year. That's not showing that we're ready to take this on. But and the quarries that are open and still delivering defective.
Well, I think this is where the NSAI will be coming to bear. Like they will be coming to
bear.
Review.
It's just not good.
But we're talking about this in the future tense, though, Ashley. Like, I've just got a a tweet here. Why is this only happening now? My God, what is going on? And I think people will listen to this and say the idea that we are now taking advice from a senior counsel, that the NSAI will be responsible for the thing, that we now hear that there's only four people in the office that is supposed to stretch and cover the entire country in terms of local authorities.
And the stress and the hardship that is on these families, like it was evident any time you hear them talking, it's just appalling that the government isn't stepping up.
And this is where hopefully the funds that are coming through, like that there's going to be progress on supporting those families in the time ahead, because that is what we all want to see.
We need to invest more money into the government.
Can I just ask about this, Christine, because this is something that came up today, that no property has yet to be fixed under the MICA redress scheme.
Yeah, I think people will be really surprised to hear that. A lot of surprises out of the committee today that actually, you know, such fanfare when the announcement that the MICA redress had actually been agreed and signed off on. And I think a lot of people would have assumed that, okay, let's get, you know, shovels ready, boots on the ground, let's get this going, because those families have been waiting long enough. And now we hear that actually, you know, those people are still living in those homes that were crumbling a year ago. So one can only imagine what they're like now. And at the time, a year ago, when the redress scheme was being discussed and all the rest, you know, there was all those discussions about people being afraid of like walls falling down on their families. Like, that's still a fear that they've had to live with for the last year. But I do think, you know, going back to, you know, the text messenger there saying, sorry, what is going on? I think, you know, politicians, journalists and all the rest have been writing and stuff and following this story for so long. And when people do, I think, catch up with it, a lot of people that I speak to sort of ask questions about, okay, well, what happened to the quarries? You know, what was the court case? I must have missed that. Or, you know, we do seem to be putting somewhat the cart before the horse, perhaps, throughout this whole thing. You know, the first thing most people would think is there has to be some sort of accountability. And that seems to be sort of now, okay, now we're dealing with the redress. I understand that, yes, let's prioritise that, but why two things can't be done at the same time is,
I think, anybody who follows, like our colleague Barry Lennon has been doing
Trojan work
on this for a long time now. But that is a thread that you will pick up on. Is the accountability part of this seems to be missing from...
Well, from what I understand, I mean, the minister had engaged with council, I think, back in November of 21. But it is crucial, as has been mentioned here, that there is accountability. I think the challenge has been that, I suppose, it has been about supporting those families, and it's about ensuring that they're getting progress and that we're able to see those bills happening. And that is about making sure that there's budget been allocated, which has been set aside, and putting a scheme in place that is going to ensure that we have that budget for those families.
Gary. It's also about ensuring that we have the regulation correct.
Well, can I ask you, this is a question in here, and it's a good question. Have the government any plan to introduce a comprehensive mandatory insurance scheme for the home building industry to ensure that the taxpayer never again ends up paying for the mistakes of the construction industry? There's a problem with that, though, isn't it? Because to get something like that underwritten would be, I think, almost impossible now.
Well, I suppose just in terms of the regulations, I mean, I'm just looking here at notes, and I suppose there are amendments they've looked at with the building control regulations, the National Building Control Office, and the Speaker as well about regulations for providers of building works. And it's really important, I think, that what they're going to be looking at under this agenda is establishing sort of a new independent building standards regulator. So, sorry, just a few points there just around the regulation side of things. But, I mean... Yeah, it's the questions there around insurance, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's a very large question.
Like, who would take on that insurance? Would it be the person who signs off on the build? Would it be the person who delivers the defective blocks? There are huge issues there, but I think at the end of the day, if you talk to people who are, you know, closely involved in this industry, they would say that it's frightening that the little comeback you still have if you buy a property today.
And going back to the issue of quarries, we've over 1,000 quarries. Up until, I think it was about July of this year, we'd only had 127 quarries inspected, but a building control unit that was supposed to inspect the quarries. So we can't actually even, I don't think we'd have any confidence that there aren't quarries today who are sending out defective blocks already. So we won't be back here in a decade's time with the same issue.
But I think as well, what you're touching on there with the insurance companies, it was a question when Pascal Dunhu was announcing the 5% had been brought down for the 10%, the 5% had been brought
down. This is the concrete levy, yeah.
Yeah, had been reduced. You know, I had asked him, you know, this is going to increase costs on first-time buyers? Have we looked at maybe spreading, you know, the cost, that it's not just on the levy? Is it, you know, as you said, if I buy a house tomorrow, I have to take out home insurance on it. Like, it's, you can't move any further without it. And I think most people listening tonight would be sitting at home assuming that if something was wrong with their house, that they have that to call on because they're paying for it. And the fact that that just didn't seem to matter or count for anything for those people that lived in their homes. And also the banks as well was another thing I'd asked. I said, surely, you know, their mortgages are still sitting there for those families. Their house is worth nothing. The banks have not been, I suppose, the best behaved in this country over the last while. We've only seen the tracker mortgage scandal and the fines that are coming out of that. They're still making profits. Even if I said you couldn't put a levy of this concrete levy sort of thing, can we not approach them and say, put a nice pressure on them and say a voluntary contribution of some kind would be welcome in this circumstance, seeing as the taxpayer is paying for it? You know, Pascal Dunne was saying, no, like, we just think this is the best way forward, just to have the concrete levy. And I was like, well, what's the harm in asking? Like, what's the harm in actually putting that out there and putting pressure on these massive banks, companies that are making huge profits every single year? And well, we have just a handful of people, hundreds of people around the country. So, it would just be, I think, a decent token for them and a very good image for them as well if they would have stepped up to do something in that regard.
Yeah, no, look, I totally understand the concern here. And I mean, it is where you're trying to look at what options are out there. And I suppose it was the government looking at a way where the sector itself, that the industry itself would be able to be accountable to some extent under this. But again, I suppose when we talk about banks and everything else, I suppose I'm just really conscious, you know, I'm coming from a town where, you know, they were going to close, you know, like, say, banks in our towns, you know, having,
but that's
competitive
not for fear
banking
of them not making profits. Well, that's for them to cut costs as much as they can. Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's about just having a competitive banking environment. I suppose when we bring up banks the whole time, I suppose what I just see in rural areas,
banks are doing quite well now, though, yeah. Aisling, I think. Yeah. Is that not the case?
Well, banks at the moment are getting mortgages paid on worthless properties.
What we're just seeing is
reading
banking culture.
Budget,
I think that's causing a huge issue. You know, just, I suppose, behaviour, customer behaviour and so on is changing. But it's also having a real impact on banking, having access to banking services in rural areas. And it's just something...
Well, that's a totally different, totally separate issue, to be fair. But in fairness, do you think the banks should be able to get away without, you know, contributing in some way?
From what I can see here, I mean, on the concrete levy, I mean, it was the bricks, like what we're looking at here are defective bricks. And what the government is looking at are, I suppose, what they would see as the providers, the industry that they would see as being, you know, need to take responsibility to some shape or form around this. And I suppose when we talk about accountability and when we're looking at senior council, I mean, they'll be working with homeowners who have been affected on this and looking at what the government's options are about pursuing this. And I suppose having those options presented, and I would see that Minister Dara O'Brien is going to be coming out hopefully shortly on this, you know, with that final option, what the terms of reference will be and how they'll be able to move that forward.
I just think it's kind of a fine mess that a lot of people are involved in. It's not just one thing happened. It was, everything seemed to roll in together, and it's the families at the end of the day that are suffering. And, you know, in my view, I think, you know, everyone had a part to play and perhaps should have put their hand in their pocket.
Yeah.
Just a couple of other things. The idea of a national product testing centre that's been proposed by the Construction Industry Federation. Do we need that?
We need a national building control office that is well staffed, funded and has the capacity to go in and inspect quarries, inspect standards. That's what we need at this point. The organisations that are already there to be well resourced and well manned.
And what about expanding the scheme, the current MICA redress scheme, to include properties built without fire safety, you know, without the proper fire safety in place?
Yeah, the apartment,
and we know there is a lot of that out there.
There's a lot of that out there in some of my constituency, a lot in North Dublin. I think those families that have come to me said they have four defects as a consequence of the same poor regulations, poorly as a consequence of the same poor regulations. They all have the same legitimate call to say, well, actually, we need intervention too because their homes are being impacted by your poor regulation.
Yeah, and around fire safety as well. We had a row of houses burnt in Newbridge, south Kildare, in my constituency. But you know, recently, because of poor fire
Because there wasn't separation between the terrace of the houses.
It's not just, I suppose, the health and safety. It's those people that would like to move on or that are stuck in those houses that can't sell them on for exactly those reasons.
Yeah, I think this was actually brought up by Paul Murphy, People for Profit, in the Dáil today. Aisling, you're not saying anything on that one?
No, well, I mean, the apartment defects, I mean, that is something that has been looked at, I think, by government and by the department. And, I mean, I know that they are looking at, you know, fire safety. And I know that they are probably going to look at the criteria around that, how that's going to be evaluated. But it is something that is something that has to be considered, particularly around the fire safety element. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll move on.